Before we get started with today's show, I want to tell you about another great ESPN podcast, Brian Windhorst and the Hoop Collective. You know Brian from when he's been on the pod. They post episodes on Tuesday and Friday mornings bright and early. The NBA playoffs are in full swing, so be sure to check it out for the latest analysis and reactions. You can follow Brian Windhorst and the Hoop Collective as well as The Right Time wherever you get your podcast. The playoffs are here, so be sure to check it out. Follow the Woj Pod now as well as The Right Time wherever you get your podcast. Also, if you're looking for world-class soccer, ESPN Plus is where to find it. The best teams, the biggest stars in over 20 international leagues and tournaments, La Liga, Bundesliga, FA Cup, Copa del Rey, and more. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com. The Right Time with Bomani Jones is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening wherever you get your podcast. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars, I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. It is Foxworth Friday. Dominique Foxworth, what's going on, man?
What is up?
Hey, man, training camp has begun. Well, not even training camp, it's OTAs, right? Like, I got myself all caught up. Training camp hadn't begun. It's OTAs. Your boy Aaron Rodgers didn't show up. But you know what the question of the day is now at every training camp, which is, did you get that jab? And did you get that jab is coming back with some oh no answers.
Unfortunate. I saw, I think it was the New York Times this morning, they had given out weed with vaccinations in Washington State. Like, yes. I'm not trying to say anything about the guys who are participating in the NFL. They may be different from the guys who played when I played. But I got a feeling some guys might show up if they knew that they was going to get a little bit of God's flower.
Yo, the thing about this is people, I think, in talking about who does and does not want to get vaccinated, have a bit of a tendency to try to ascribe it to some larger group, whatever the larger group happens to be, right? But teams are having this problem with coaches where they can't get coaches vaccinated. They're having the issue with players where they can't get a high enough percentage of either players or coaches to get up to where everybody can just kind of participate fully in all of this stuff. And I think for coaches, what has to be a big deviation here is you do whatever you got to do to get the job done. If you are a head coach and your assistant who cannot meet with players, right, can't be in the meeting room, all this stuff, if they don't get jabbed up, and that man look at you and say he not gonna do it, that's new. Right? Correct me if I'm wrong. Y'all do whatever I say.
I see where you're coming from, but I guess this is different for a lot of people and it's different from other vaccinations. Like, I don't agree with it necessarily, but I think that when something's new, it's scary. And that is the only semi-reasonable defense until you're like, all right, if you're concerned about it, then read up on it. Then when you read about it, you're like, oh, actually, it's not that scary. So it's like the gulf between being skeptical but not curious is the problem. Like, there is a gap in there. And if you can close that gap, then we will be all right. And trying to entice people, like I was joking about the weed thing, but that's outrageous to me. Like, they're gonna give people weed or French fries or extra dollar. To me, if you haven't gotten a vaccine now, it should be because of some higher belief or some stronger compulsion other than, dang, give me nothing free. Like, we try to give you your life. Weed is not going to get me any more than what was going to get me before.
Yeah, I guess it would be better for me if somebody, when they were making that explanation, was just a little clearer, right? If they were just making a little bit more sense, because I'm not discounting the possibility that you could give me an argument for why it is that you're not going to get jabbed up, right? Maybe you got something for me. And I'd be like, oh, okay, that's what it is. Just don't tell me this yet thing, right? That's my only problem. When you put this out, that's not my only problem, I'll be honest about that. But when you come out here and talk about, I haven't gotten it yet, ain't no hold up. You could walk up into CVS right now and get that thing, right? You just ain't getting it. Maybe you will get it later, but the fact that you have not gotten it now is not because you have not gotten it yet. You have just decided that this is a thing that you yourself are not going to do. And I'm so confused because once that jab came out, baby, I was trying to get to it ASAP.
I am opinionated because I have to be for this profession. But most of the time, I think in my normal life, I tend to try to understand people and think through how they could end up there, because most people are reasonable, I guess. And even if you disagree with the like chain of logic that got them to a decision, you can follow it. I have a hard time following any chain of logic that gets this decision, because to me, it feels like to not get it right now seems illogical. And some people say things like, do your own research. That sounds good, I guess, but I can't. Like, I gotta trust what the doctors and the scientists are telling me, because that's how societies are built. Like, at some point, you gotta trust. When I'm walking around in the city, the walk sign comes up, and there are 10 cars sitting there, and I gotta trust that nobody in those cars are crazy. Like, that's called living in a society. So, like, I feel you. And as Black people, we understand. As many times as I've heard people bring up Tuskegee in the last month or Henrietta Lack in the last few months, like, I get it. But also, we either gotta leave or we gotta buy into the fact that this is a society and we gotta act communally in some regard.
Well, I want to do your own research, guy, to be somebody to actually do research. Is that too much for me to ask? Like, whenever people say you have to do your own research, researching is always a trickle-down situation. All of us are researching somebody else's research, right? Unless we can take this all the way up and you got a beaker in your hand. You know what I'm saying? We're all trusting somebody else's research. These cats like, I got to do my own research on this. Tell me about the research.
Your research is reading articles just like it is for the rest of us normals. It is like someone going outside and playing pickup quarterback and saying, oh, I know how to play this position now. I did my own research. That is tantamount. Like, you guys are armchair scientists. You know, you can't do no research.
Well, how about this? Why you ain't done it yet? Right? Like, if you're saying that you, like, at this point, like, Sam Darnold came out here, and yeah. Sam Darnold basically, I think he gave kind of, I got to get some more information type of answer. What you waiting on, dog? It's not like this thing is new. It's not like information has not been readily available. You just not gonna do it. That's all it is, right? Now, to me, if I was doing something that I felt like was really in the name of my own safety, I would be able to loudly and proudly explain to you why it is that I am not doing this. Like, your man Montez Sweat, right? I really didn't want to come down on him. This word hit different when you say it about Black people, so I try to avoid it, but he just sounded so ignorant, you know? And I mean that in a very literal sense of the term. And so they asked him about bringing experts in, because apparently Washington, because they're in Washington, they got access to a whole different set of people. You know, they brought some real folk in there to talk to them about it. And he said, they asked him how he felt about it. He wasn't a fan of them bringing those people in. He said he's not going to get the vaccine until he gets more information. Information right there. Even if you don't trust them, there's nobody you should trust more than those people, right? Just in terms of the information they got. All right, so then he says that. And then he says something about he ain't going to treat COVID until he gets COVID, which just sowed a drastic misunderstanding of how all of this works, right? How the totality of it goes. I just can't imagine coming out of this whole year and they like, hey man, they got something that'll make it where you can't catch what this thing is that's kept people locked up for the last year. And you be like, I don't know.
I gotta do my own research.
I wanna know what else people do their own research on.
Nothing. It's meant to be a get out of jail free card. Like, that's when you say yet. There's obviously another reason why they're not doing this, and they don't want to get dragged into the political version of this conversation, or they're just scared. But there's another reason why they're not doing this and saying, I haven't gotten it yet, or I need to do my own research. They believe that they have now answered the question, they can move on. But no, you haven't answered the question, because your point is another one, is a super valid one. Like, we're past a year. What's taking you so long to pick up these beakers and do this research? And who are you going to get this information from? And yet, what are you waiting on? Like, you are around people. Why are you waiting? I think the fact that fatality numbers for, like, young, presumably healthy people aren't scary enough, but the side effects or the long-term impact, like that's scary enough for me to get on board. So I just, fear is the only thing that would make sense. Either that or you believe that we are all living in some society that's controlled by like all those conspiracy theories. Like you're either scared or you believe in some grand sci-fi conspiracy theory.
Well, here's my question. Had these people called, I don't know, their doctor? When we start hearing all this, I got to do my own research. Have you called your doctor? Just curious. Has that person been on your list? Like, again, I want to know, like, when you need medical advice, who do you lead on the internet, right? Like, these people, when they're like, yo, I got to go figure this out. Who are they calling? Are you calling an old professor, right? Are you calling somebody you know that work at the drug company? Which one is it? Because, like, I'm down for a good conspiracy, man. You know, like, I acknowledge that there are conspiracies that exist. This is not the one. And if you're going to say Tuskegee, I need you to understand what actually happened at Tuskegee. Like, that's the thing. When people say, about what about Tuskegee? I would recommend that you ask those people what happened at Tuskegee. See what happens. See what the response is that they're going to give you. But none of this is going to change their minds.
I think the most important thing, and I know we're doing this in part because it's fun to talk about, but we both know they aren't actually doing research. Like, they aren't actually looking for it. They just think this is a shield to deflect that question, and now they can move on.
Yeah, but, you know, it's the coaches who now can't meet with players one-on-one that actually blow me away the most. Mm-hmm. Like, those are the ones where, like, this is a serious impediment to your ability to do your job, as well as perhaps the next man is able to do his job. I think the league thought, especially with the coaches, we're going to put these measures in place and then they're going to have to do it. Like, imagine this is the only thing that is breaking the peer pressure of football, right? That is breaking the we all do the same thing of football is trying to save your own damn life.
But that's another point the logic ladder breaks down. Because, like, I'm going to make some assumptions about these people that is not about them not doing their research yet. It's about some other grand belief or something like that. Like, that makes sense. Or maybe, because I think the fear is connected to do your own research. So, like, I don't know that they're actually scared of it, but they might believe that there is something else going on. One of those crazy crackpot conspiracies. So why are you still coaching football? That's what I don't get. Like, if I sincerely believe that people was trying to put chips in me or they was trying to test something or whatever these crackpot conspiracy are, if I sincerely believe that, you think I'd be sitting right here recording the episode of Foxworth Fridays on the right time? That's what I don't understand. Do you sincerely believe that? Because if so, you got some time management issues.
The way that it gets received this upcoming season, if and when people test positive, because the one thing about the vaccine is you could make an argument that the more people who get the vaccine, the less you personally need to get the vaccine, right? Like, you kind of, this is the free rider dilemma. We out here doing what it is that we supposed to do, so you could be out here living reckless. And we are seeing the positivity rates fall in a lot of places, because we are decreasing the number of people who have the ability to spread it. But people obviously are still catching it. That dude in golf had $1.6 million headed his way. Then he tested positive and they had to, you know, get him up out of there, right? When this happens this season and people test positive, last year, I think that we kind of, we shook it out of a lot of people that was like, you got to stop shaming people for catching it because people can catch it all kinds of ways, so forth and so on. Like, we got to stop doing that. So, you know, da, da, da. It ain't going to be that attitude this year. Like, you mess around and you catch it in the presence of the vaccine, the judgment will flow from all corners.
You better have had the vaccine and they got some new variant. I want to test it immediately. That better be a new variant that the vaccine does not protect, which is also a problem. That's how we get new variants. It's by people not getting vaccinated. But if you are unvaccinated and you catch it, like, I don't understand why we can't judge those people.
Well, Hall, you remember when all those coaches from the Yankees all said they got vaccinated, but they all got it? I'm not saying that they are lying. Saying, however, the odds of that feel infinitesimal.
You're a statistician. You could do the math and figure that out. But I'm going to go ahead and say, hell nah. It's my assessment.
Like, it didn't have no labels on it. They were just like, yo, give them the shots to say that they got the shots.
On that placebo vaccine.
Yeah, I was just amazed. We just rolled that out. We were like, wow, they got vaccinated and all of them got it. Isn't that crazy? Yes, it's insane. It's 100% insane. Like, if I'm the Yankees, I'm definitely going to whoever we got this from with my receipt. Somebody got to give us a refund.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like we might be, like, rehashing a bunch of stuff that everyone has talked about, but this is, like, something that we do for everything in life. Like, you went to public school. You went to private school. They're probably even stricter. You have vaccines. You ever traveled internationally to some places? You done got some vaccines. Like, we talked about how we still getting a polio vaccine, got the foot on polio's neck.
Yes.
It's just different enough and it's just new enough to give some opportunity for people who are looking to deceive people, give them an opportunity to create that deception, and they just want to grab onto it and be counterculture. That's another thing that I was thinking about, is how somewhere along the line, counterculture became like what is cool. You know, like, to be different is what is cool. And I think about that sometime with, like, the current situation in this country in many ways, and probably the world in most places, is it feels to me like those people think they cool. Like, I know something you don't know. I got something. Like, we over here, you over there following them lames.
Yes.
You wear the uniform to school. I turn my jacket inside out. You know, like, that's what it feels like to me, is they convince themselves that they are rebels. They are bad boys. I ain't getting no shot. That's what the sheep do. Stop it, dummy.
Yo, you know what this makes me think of? When Kyrie said that thing about how he didn't want to talk to the media anymore, and I guess he kind of does talk to the media, but when he did that, I imagine that the Nets had to be willing to pay all his fines, because the last thing they want is to ask Kyrie some questions about this jab. I guess something positive could come from it, because he does have these moments of clarity and lucidity every now and then, but I got no idea what he might have to say about this jab. Like, LeBron didn't do himself no favors trying not to say nothing on this. I think this is a private matter between me and my family. Why are y'all saying this? There are all kinds of medical things that I feel like are like, yeah, you know, that's really none of your business. I get where people come from on a lot of it. Whether you got that jab?
I remember, like, when we were going to camps or going to school, they straight up asked me, did you have this vaccine? And I had to show them my paperwork in order to be let in the front door. So I understand the reasons why they can't be the same now, but I don't see why you need to be scared to talk about it or concerned about sharing it. And LeBron, that China issue for LeBron,
yeah,
was like his major public faux pas. And to me, like, that, and people try to use that to, like, club LeBron anytime anything comes up, they use this. But in this case, kind of somewhat fits, where it's like, you are outspoken about this particular thing that would presumably on its face value doesn't impact you, but actually deeply impacts your pockets, or could impact your pockets. But this other issue, which kind of is the same, like, it doesn't really impact him on a day-to-day, but it could potentially deeply impact his pockets. It's surprising that he, with a movie coming out soon, and you better get these people vaxxed up.
You don't want people to go see this in the theater where they can buy overpriced popcorn and all of this stuff? By the way, do you give a damn about this movie?
I want to, but I don't.
I never felt like Space Jam was some kind of classic in the first place.
You're too old. We're both too old.
Yeah, I guess. But, like, Hit 'Em High, that was a classic. Now, that right there. If I hit 'em high, hit 'em high, hit 'em high. Like, that. Now, that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, now that. That's a classic. That's a classic. But I did not realize or recall people having this level of Space Jam affection that seems to be coming through in all of this. And, again, LeBron James is not Michael Jordan. And I think, as important, the Looney Tunes are not as ubiquitous as they were. I mean, I could be wrong. Somebody could let me know, but I feel like he's setting himself up for disappointment.
Yeah, I mean, it'll do well.
What do we call him? Well?
Well, I guess it depends on what they spend on the budget. And if half the cast is cartoons, I assume the budget is pretty low. So
that's a good point.
I suspect it'll do pretty well. But yeah, you're right. So, I mean, that's just a product of, like, the times. Back then, there wasn't nearly as much media. And so, like, Looney Tunes was around. It was on. People watched it. They knew what it was about. It meant something different to a society. And putting that together with Michael Jordan was a big deal. But I still think that the reason why you don't think it's a big deal, and I, like, I enjoyed it, I remember it, but I don't remember rushing out to the theaters, was because of our age. Like, it was in 96 that it came out. I was 13. I thought I was cool. I was trying to go see Sunset Park or whatever, whatever was coming out around that time. I wasn't trying to see no cartoons. But I know, like, my brother-in-law, my wife's sister's husband, like, he's younger than me by, like, 5 or 6 years, I guess. Love Space Jam, indoctrinating his kids with Space Jam. Like, it's a different thing for different people.
I mean, And I guess you're right. Maybe it's an age situation. Maybe I was just too old for Michael Jordan out there with cartoons. Maybe that's what it is. I just feel like I see why someone thought that this was a great idea to do. I am not sure it is ultimately going to prove to be that great idea, but I had not thought about that. I mean, how much do you have to pay the cartoon? Because, I mean, you know, you do have to pay the cartoons. You don't pay the cartoon characters, but you got to pay the cartoon company.
Yeah, I would guess that they aren't probably, like, part owners would be my guess in the picture. They aren't paying them a licensing fee. And the same is true, like, LeBron's production company, so he may not get a salary. And all once you come out at the end, you got all these computer graphics making up your film. Like, that seems a lot cheaper than everything else. So I don't know. I guess we'll figure out what the budget is. But to me, it seems like it'd be pretty hard for this to be a loser, like a flop. All basketball fans going to see it, and they're going to take their sons and daughters who play basketball to see it. And everyone who remembers it, who loved it from when they were kids. I mean, that's the whole point of using, like, tried and true IP, is you got something, you got a built-in fan base.
Yeah, yeah. It will not be a flop. I don't know if it's going to be good. Like, I have no gauge on how we're going to determine whether or not it's good, all of this. Like, if I were him, I would have avoided the whole Michael Jordan lane altogether, right? Because there's absolutely going to be somebody out here breaking out the inflation calculator to let you know how LeBron's movie did versus Mike's in the first week, according to the prices of the time.
LeBron is a better actor than Michael Jordan.
Yeah, that's yeah, I think so.
Like,
I've
seen LeBron even back when he had the LeBrons. You remember that?
Oh, Nike LeBrons campaign? Were great.
Yeah, that was great. I was like, yeah, LeBron got it. You remember when LeBron hosted the ESPYs? LeBron was giving it to him.
Yo, let's talk about the LeBrons. I have no idea why they discontinued that campaign, because that is quite possibly. Forget the 2012 and 13 seasons. The LeBrons is the best thing that LeBron ever did. Player hater. Elevator. Mess with me and you gonna die.
I remember they had the pool one. Like, that was the that was good.
And the dinner table.
Those were good. I don't know why they discontinued that, but that to me let me know that LeBron, maybe this ain't the movie for him. And in Trainwreck, he was good too. I guess I think, like, the ESPYs was the most impressive thing, because you could probably spend 10 hours filming these commercials and a good director gonna get some good takes out of me. The man just went live and killed it. And hosted it, didn't embarrass himself.
Yo, I had forgotten about that. That he deserves a lot more credit for that. Because let me tell you something I know I couldn't do. I couldn't host no damn ESPYs.
Yeah.
I do TV stuff. That's what I do. That's how I get paid, right? I'm sitting here right now on the microphone. Nah, man, I could not imagine trying to host the ESPYs.
Yeah, I have unhealthy ego, so I think that I could host the ESPYs. But I'm smart enough to know that I probably couldn't. It's a weird conflict that goes on in my brain just about any time I see anybody do anything impressive. Part of me is like, I could do that. then the rational part of me is like, they probably work really hard to get there, get that done, and you would be offended if somebody said they could play corner.
By the way, speaking of LeBron, how you think he's killing the time right now? Like, I follow him on Instagram, but I've muted just about everybody's stories because all y'all stories are whack. No disrespect. Oh, he's doing, I guess, Space Jam promo. Because, you know, after the season when he went championships, he loved to put it on Instagram, you know, that he was going out and all the summer vacation with the family that always look baller and fly is all get out. But I feel like it don't land as well when everybody else still playing.
Everybody else still playing and lots of people still aren't taking these vacations. I feel like you got to be tactful at this moment. I guarantee he's doing it. he's just saving those pictures up for when y'all can handle it. I understand that. This is another thing I hear come up a lot, is like, people are more careful in this time. I don't mind it. Like, I don't mind seeing people flex and flaunt. Like, I understand that you shouldn't. And I would never, like, it's just not in my nature normally. Without a pandemic, I certainly wouldn't do it now. But I love to see people balling. Why you got to pretend like you unhappy just because I am?
Yeah, well, I think the question becomes, though, why you got to tell everybody about it, right? But that's my question about all these things that all these people do all the time. But, like, at this point, with the proliferation of the jab, and, I mean, let's be honest, when's the last time LeBron saw, like, was at an airport?
He's traveling pretty safe. That's
Yeah, he's at a hangar. You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
there's a runway, but it is not an airport.
Yeah, I don't know the last time LeBron was at an airport. So they on some private plane and all of that stuff.
That's the problem for us while we're planning our summer stuff, is my wife and I obviously been vaccinated for a while, but the kids are too young. And so her and I can do some stuff, but we're still kind of locked in this area because, like, I ain't trying to expose my kids to anything just because I want to be on the beach. Go ahead and leave them home.
Yeah, you're not trying to bring home a little mini vector.
Yeah, I'm not trying to do that. Yeah, I guess I ain't even gotten to what it could mean to, for everybody else. I was just like, I would feel guilty if like I took my kids out and they got the coronavirus because I really need to flex on the gram from wherever.
Yeah, this next year going to be interesting. People ain't used to being around each other, man. Because I live in New York, so being outside, you amongst the people in a different way, right? Like, have you seen somebody just lose their mind up in here in public yet?
Just on the internet. You seen it in real life?
Dog, let me tell you what I saw the other day. So I was out, like, in the garment district. It's like 37th, 7th. I had to go do something over there. So I'm there, and I see this dude, right? Black dude, looked like he in his early to mid-20s. And he up in the traffic cop's face, right? Like he want to start it. And traffic cops, if you don't know anything about New York City, a lot of these cities like to talk to you about X percentage of their police force is black and brown. And then ask them what percentage of them are the traffic cops, right? So this is a dude that want to be a cop, but they got him out writing tickets. And they were double parked on 37th Street. Like, okay, not a really a good place for you to double park. Cops writing a ticket. Now, I seem to walk up on this in the middle, so my only guess is they came out as he was writing the ticket. And so I think they figured as he was writing the ticket that, you know, they should get a mulligan on it. But I also imagine that the city of New York done missed out on a lot of ticket money in the last year, and so you're going to get this ticket. And so my man's writing this ticket. The young brother in his 20s, in his face, about how he going to mess him up, everything else, in his face. My man just... Cop just arms folded, just like, let him talk it out, keep doing it. And then the woman that's with him, now she want to get up in the dude's face about how mad she is. You'll give me a $150 ticket, da-da-da, all this stuff. Now, one thing I do want to point out in this, and I mean, maybe I'm wrong, I don't know, you can decide. But the young dude had a whole lot of energy for that cop to be going and sitting in the passenger seat. You know what I'm saying? I'm not taking it from you with you being the aggressor and you about to go sit in the passenger seat. So anyway, my man writes out the ticket and then the woman's like, $150? Like, she's so mad about this. Cop gave her the ticket. She literally tore it into pieces and threw it in the cop's face.
And then
got in the car. I don't know if the traffic cops are allowed to be their authentic selves on the job in the ways that the others are. But my thought was, after she did that, you still gonna have to pay it. Yeah, it's like a hootie hoo. When Andre's like, guess what I did? Click. Like, you know it's not over, right? like you understand that at some point there will have to be some level of resolution to this situation.
I understand that different people, different situations, and like, most laws and taxes and all that stuff are like regressive in nature. So I don't want to pass any judgment. But whenever I do something illegal like that, I expect to get a ticket and I'm happy when I don't. Like, to me, she came out and her friend that she was with came out hot. Like, they were surprised. You double parked on a major thoroughfare in New York City. Like, I would come out if I was in a situation where I had to double park. And like, I mean, I can't find a spot. I got this appointment. I got to do what I got to do. I'm going to try to run and run out. I am fully expecting to see a little pink thing on my windshield when I come out. And if there's not one, I'm happy. If there is one, I'm like, you got me, bro.
Yeah. Well, here's my question. Why you double parking if it's two of y'all? Is he not allowed to drive the CRV?
I guess.
Right? Like, do you not trust him to take the wheel?
They had to carry something in. Like, I feel like moving... When you're moving, double parking kind of is a thing that has to happen, especially in New York City, because like, you got to be there. You got to be as close as possible. So they had to carry a couch up. It's a CRV.
I assure you, they were not carrying a couch on 37th Street. Like, of that part, yeah. I can give you quite the promise that was not what they doing. But nah, man, they just went out there and they lost their minds. Like, I'm glad we ain't had nobody lose their minds as of recent at these arenas. I am glad that the people are back at the arenas. And I say that because I don't know if you watched on Wednesday that Phoenix Nuggets game, but it was rocking in there.
It was.
Rocking. And it's so much better to watch these things when the crowds are actually rocking.
Yeah, you take it for granted But you're right. The difference between, I think I watched more bubble basketball than I would normally watch basketball during that time. It was fun. And it was just like a welcome back moment. It was cool. They were playing at a high level. And I enjoyed that, which like a higher level, frankly, than they are playing now. But it's not nearly as entertaining no. as having all these other little characters around adding some spice to the stew.
Nah, man, like we got people back. And we're getting to the point also now where the television companies are like, okay, we can put the cameras on the people. Because in the end, I think they all understand that it's probably still not the greatest idea for us to be rolling up 17 deep in these places. Like we're not really trying to cast too much onto that. That's not the way that we want to go. But yeah, we ain't got to pipe the sound in no more. You can get like an actual defense chant.
Is that guy, so they keep showing that Phoenix Suns guy is like a fan. It's like a white dude with a bandana mm-hmm. and a jersey on and no shirt underneath. Like, I feel like they've cut to that same dude in a bunch of different games. Is he somebody I'm supposed to know? Is he like Goldstein or something? Or
I have no idea.
Okay. I think you know the guy I'm talking about? Or
yeah,
or
yeah.
No?
I know who you're talking about.
I see him a lot. And I'm like, am I supposed to know this weirdo?
By the way, they still got the gorilla.
I don't know. I ain't seen a gorilla in a minute. Well, not during the pandemic, I guess.
I ain't seen a gorilla in a minute because I ain't watched the Suns play in like 10 years, by and large. I ain't watched them a little bit, and I said earlier on the year this year on Twitter, because Devin Booker didn't make the All-Star team, and it's annual ritual to complain when Devin Booker doesn't make the All-Star team.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, look, man, like he's probably like one of the 15 best players in the West at that point, right? Like, I don't think he's that game changer in that way. And I don't know if he's that game changer in that way, but he sure seemed to be changing games these days. He's out there giving it to him. But I thought about something with the gorilla. Was they trying to play us?
I mean, that's always an assumption. I don't know. Like, maybe that's if he's gone, then they were trying to play us. What was his name? Did he have a name?
I don't recall the gorilla having a name, but I never really thought about that. That it's this high-flying dunking gorilla.
Well, they had high-flying. Their only cover is they were high-flying mascots before him. And then why they choose to be the Phoenix Suns and they choose...
That's all I'm saying.
Gorilla is surprising. Yeah. But that's why I'm going to Google it. I find out what his name was. Because if his name is Dan the Gorilla, we cool. If his name is Deontay the Gorilla,
Hakeem the Gorilla,
we got issues.
I'm just saying, man. Like, it was at the time where the Suns, as Howard Bryant said, had like the whitest teams in the league when he was a youth. I didn't realize that. And so, yeah, it just hit me right now. Like, huh, it's a gorilla that jump real high, you say.
I'm surprised that it just hit you right now. Main Street white institutions start toying around with anything
anything
monkey-ish. Anything that is close to the human but not quite there. My first question, I go through a mental checklist. Did y'all do this? Did you do this? Did you do that? Is it okay? All right.
Like, I do a bit of like retroactive, what you mean by monkey, right? Like, I had to realize going back with our man Pimp C, take that monkey off. You embarrassing us. And I was like, oh, you mean monkey. A little problematic there, even if it's you know what I mean? And so like I go back and realize some places like, oh, monkeying around, huh? What you trying to say here, homie?
Let me tell you this, you bring up the word monkey and it's something, and maybe it's widespread or maybe it's just in this area or something, but I've noticed I got kids, so I'm around a bunch of other people's kids, and white people call their kids monkeys, like a term of endearment, like sweetheart. They be like, hey, where's my little monkey? And every time I cringe every time. Like, I know that they'll say something like, I was talking to a dad a couple days ago, and it's like, yeah, boys are a little different. Like, my girl is sitting around. He was saying how my girl sits around and she listens, whatever. But my boy, man, he's climbing all over everything like a little monkey. Look at me right in my eyes. I'm like, hey, that's your son. Call it what you want. But if my son start climbing on some stuff, I know what you bet not say.
Yeah, that's not going to be it. Get down here, you little monkey. No.
But you ain't heard that? You ain't heard that before? Like, or maybe it's just not around kids. I guarantee you people who are listening are going to recognize that they know somebody who call their kids little monkeys.
Yeah, no, monkey hit us different. You're like, who the monkey?
Yeah, what you mean? Yeah. Actually, I don't need to know what you mean. I know what you mean. But I wouldn't even toy around with that if I was them, because I don't want to get comfortable saying it.
They only be kicking it with each other. Therefore, there's nobody to enforce. And that's how they accidentally call your kid a monkey. Well, not wishing it. You know what I'm saying? I am positive that the first time they call young Foxworth a monkey will be the next time they hear from Ashley Foxworth. And it will be the last time that any monkey references are made.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell her immediately. I can't handle this. Actually, hey, they just said, oh man,
you don't even have to handle this, man. You just got to bring that up and just let it go.
I done seen a couple emails, that some fiery emails that had to go out, not necessarily to the school or people at the school, but just in general, when she gets into polite email mode, that shows that she is much smarter than you and everyone else, and not to play with her. It is unfortunate. Neighbors done caught the heat. I just lay low.
Yeah, see, my mama just go to the school. It helped, when your mama got a PhD, everybody kind of knows what time it is, and my mama just kind of has that sort of presence. And my mama ain't gonna flash on you necessarily, but there's a good chance you might lose your job. Like, I will wrap this up with one of the greatest stories of all time that I just let you know. Like, my mama's silent but deadly on this, right? So my sister apparently had this teacher when they were growing up that was apparently very poor at her job. And so my mama was trying to figure out how to politic and figure out how to make some moves, right? And so what my mama decided was, I'm going to go help her grade papers. Okay, now keep in mind, this is my mom in her 20s. You know, it's like, I'm going to go help her grade papers. So mom goes up to help her grade papers. And the teacher looks at my mom and says, oh, did she tell you that we were studying the 5 original Indian tribes? Because it's the 70s and that's how they taught, right? The 5 original Indian tribes. My mom was like, original? I've heard of the civilized tribes, but not the original tribes. And she said, yeah. Well, those are the tribes that were already here. And my mama says, well, how did the other ones get here? The pilgrims brought them. My mama gathered her papers. She put down the one she had been grading. She took the other stuff that she came with. And I believe that was the last day that that young lady was working in our educational system.
Oh. Oh shit! That was not my mama's tact. My mama was gonna let people know it was not nearly as strategic. It was more like, we're gonna blow this whole building up if y'all don't get right. That was my mom's.
See,
technique.
That one wasn't one to build nothing up. But I think my mama carried in a way nobody really ever broke bad with me, because they knew who was coming, right? And they knew they couldn't win. Because we all know we can't win.
She just had to manage the situation at that point. She came in with some gravitas. She came in with that. They knew who they was. It was a slightly different situation, where in my schools, they was testing out kids, see who had what. She come in and set the tone early on, and then I was good. She was like PTA president at some point when I was in high school, which is vastly different than what she did in elementary school, when the lunch lady thought that she needed to guide me to the line with her hands. Ooh. That was bad. Also, my second grade teacher, I got in a fight, and I guess it was third grade, got in a fight. The kid's mom came to the school the next day. The mom came to the class and wanted to speak to me. The teacher sent me to the hallway to talk to a parent of a kid that I got in a fight with yesterday. When I got home and told my mom that, boy, how dare you do that? I'm a 6-7-year-old kid. And the mom of a kid that I just fought said, can I speak to Dominique? And the teacher walked me to the door and sent me outside to talk to this random adult. Yeah, all of Baltimore County Schools was about to pay.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on The Right Time. Dominique Foxworth, check him out, theundefeated.com, various ESPN television products, and every Friday here on Foxworth Friday. My man Gabe Bassane handles everything behind the scenes. Thank you, sir. Also, shout out to our man David Presley, who handles video. If you guys don't know, we on YouTube now. You can go check us out. Remember, follow The Right Time. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars, I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. We'll talk to you guys in a couple of days. Take it easy.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast.
You can listen or follow on the ESPN app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.